Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave. Welcome to Insights for Health. Our topic today is immune fitness, and joining us is Dr. Mary Nagai. Mary is the Director of Medical and Scientific Affairs at Platinum Naturals. She holds an MD and PhD from the University of Toronto. She's a scientist at both the University Health Network Toronto Rehab Institute and the University of Toronto Temerity Faculty of Medicine, with over 20 years' experience as a clinician scientist and advocate for natural integrative medicine. Good morning, Dr. Mary, and welcome to Insights for Health.
Hi, Dave. It's great to be here today.
So our immune system, it's always being challenged.
It's being challenged 24/7. Even when you're sleeping, your immune system is protecting you.
So it wants to always be in this resilience, doesn't it?
Your immune system is one of the most resilient systems in your entire body. It protects you when you're in your house, when you're out in a crowded area. It can ramp itself up, and then it can settle itself down.
So it's always adapting then?
Yes, it's always adapting. It's one of the most adaptable, flexible systems in your whole body.
When we talk about homeostasis, that's what it's trying to do, isn't it? Trying to maintain and regulate that balance in the body?
Yeah, so our immune system always wants to keep every organ healthy, and to do that, it likes to be balanced. And in health, we talk about balance as being homeostasis.
On a daily basis, what can we do? You know, how do we keep our immune system optimal, and what are some good common sense things we can do?
Get sleep. We always talk about the importance of sleep. The immune system loves it when we get adequate amounts of sleep because it gives it a chance to recover when our body isn't outputting energy to all these different organ systems trying to keep us going, trying to meet physical challenges. So at sleep, at rest, it gives it a chance to recover. The other thing you can do is try and eat a balanced diet. I know it's hard to do every day, and our lifestyles now, a lot of people are eating more prepared foods, which are fine, but you know, in moderation, make sure you're getting enough fruits and vegetables, even if it's in the form of a juice or a smoothie. Taking any way that you can take in fresh fruits and vegetables is a benefit. If you know that you're not able to or take in enough nutrients through eating, a good way to supplement is through natural supplementation. And supplementation should be to fill in those nutritional gaps that you can't adequately gain yourself on a consistent basis. And it does not include meal replacements. So meal replacements is something that people talk about, but we should really try to take in as much as we can through optimizing our daily nutritional intake and then take supplements to fill in the gaps and avoid supplements that say they're a full meal replacement. The other thing you can do is exercise, walking. You can participate in high impact, moderate impact, low impact exercises or activities, and they all help benefit your immune system. So those are just a couple of things that can help support your immune system.
During the fall and even this time of year, we see folks that'll have allergies or colds, and sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the two. A lot of similarities to the symptoms. So, doctor, how do we tell the difference between a cold and an allergy?
The major differences are the duration. If you have a cold should never last more than a week. If you have an allergy, it will be prolonged, and you'll experience those symptoms throughout that seasonal period for that particular allergen. A cold, you usually have a cough, and you might get aches and pains, whereas in an allergy, you never... Very rarely do you have a cough, a consistent cough, and aches and pains are never associated with an allergy. Itchy eyes, definitely an allergy, not a cold. Sore throat, more so associated with a cold. And a fever. A fever is associated with a cold as opposed to an allergy. So those are some of the major differences.
Usually when people start coming down with something, they want to resort to an over-the-counter type of product. That's not always a good plan, is it?
No. So a lot of people who have allergies feel stuffed up or have a cold and they go to use nasal sprays. And we always say you can use a nasal spray if you absolutely have to, but you should not use them for a prolonged period of time. So if you have an allergy, using a nasal spray as a decongestant is not highly recommended for weeks at a time. Taking something to prevent you from coughing, which would be more over-the-counter, we always say the reason why you're coughing is to help your body get rid of the irritant. So we want you to cough. If you don't cough, you're just harboring it. So again, something that's over-the-counter that we wouldn't highly recommend. And for some people, taking something that's over-the-counter, if it's in a tablet or a capsule, they have excipients like magnesium stearate, silicone dioxide, and if you have a very sensitive GI system, it can irritate it and make you feel unwell above and beyond how you're already feeling. We don't necessarily recommend over-the-counter.
So as an alternative, people can use supplement like quercetin.
Quercetin is a very well-known antioxidant, and it's been studied for its antiviral and antibacterial properties, and it definitely does support your immune system.
It's very multifaceted. It seems to attack the virus or the bacteria, whatever the pathogen is. It seems to want to attack it from multiple angles.
You're absolutely right, Dave. So quercetin, we know, inhibits the virus, like the influenza or the flu viruses, from replicating. So that's how it kills or reduces the viral load and helps your body respond more effectively to the presence of that virus. But quercetin also helps to modulate our allergic response. And some of that allergic response also crosses over to work as an antiviral. So quercetin inhibits the synthesis of antibodies against the virus so that you don't get the release of histamine in an allergic response. And by not having that histamine release, you don't have that breathing problems, the stuffiness that you get with an allergic response, or even with a cold. It prevents the T cells from producing too much mucus. Affects the virus itself, but also counters the symptoms associated with the virus or with an allergen. So what it does is two-pronged. It directly reduces the viral load so your body can fight it off itself. And at the same time, as interaction between the antigen and the antibody decrease, because it's decreasing the virus directly, it reduces the synthesis of all that mucus that, you know, people commonly experience when they have a cold. And if it's due to an allergy, you don't want to produce all those antibodies because that is what's giving you the allergic response. So what quercetin does, it reduces the amount of antibody that your body makes so you can't produce that allergic response. So it's kind of counterintuitive. Primary goal, if it's a virus, like for a cold or flu, is to reduce that load by not letting that virus replicate. Its goal is to reduce that viral load to a point where our bodies can handle it. Quercetin also reduces the mucus secretion, which is a different pathway than making antibodies. Quercetin is very good at reducing mucus secretion for both the allergic reaction and a cold.
Platinum Naturals, you have a quercetin product, and not all quercetins are equal, are they?
We use quercetin from Sephora Japonica, which is a non-citrus source. So that's important because some people taking quercetin from a citrus source react to it. We don't know what component of the citrus source binds to the quercetin that makes them sensitive, but it's well documented that for some people, quercetin from a citrus source can incite or induce a bit of a reaction. So we've chosen to take quercetin from Sephora Japonica, which is a non-citrus source. Our quercetin product is suspended is the grape seed oil. By doing that, it stabilizes the quercetin in your stomach so that it doesn't get degraded. It also increases the ability of our quercetin to be absorbed in your intestinal system.
You're showing it's 15 times more bioavailable.
The more you're able to absorb, the more you're able to get it out into circulation. And your liver loves things that are suspended in an oil. And what it does is it slows the clearance of quercetin from your system. So it gives you that enhanced bioavailability or sustained release. So you only have to take it once as opposed to taking it two or three times throughout the day.
NAC can be very beneficial with reducing mucus. Can you tell the audience what NAC is and what it's doing?
NAC is short form for N-acetylcysteine. And N-acetylcysteine is able to break down the mucus. Normally, mucus is very thin, and we don't notice it. In fact, our bodies make over a liter of mucus every day, but we don't even notice it. But when you get a cold or you have an allergic reaction, that mucus gets inflamed and it gets really thick and it's hard for us to cough it up or swallow it. So what N-acetylcysteine does is it breaks up the mucus and makes it thin so that we can cough it out. So N-acetylcysteine, if you're really stuffed up, congested, it does help to break down that mucus or that phlegm to make it easier for us to breathe and cough and get rid of all the pollutants or the virus that it's harboring.
So we've been talking about allergies and colds. Would it break up mucus in other conditions? Like, isn't there a fair bit of mucus associated with bronchitis?
You're absolutely right. So people who have chronic bronchitis are often told to take anywhere from 600 up to 1,200 milligrams of NAC a day because it helps keep their mucus, which is inflamed in people with chronic bronchitis. So it helps to keep it thin enough so they can cough and reduce the congestion.
Would NAC help with emphysema?
NAC would help with the accumulation of that mucus that can be really thick, but it can't help reverse emphysema, but it helps reduce the symptoms of emphysema.
So you can breathe easier.
Yeah.
Doctor, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, let's talk more about our immune fitness in regards to colds and flus and even COVID.